For what seemed an interminable wait, we stood watching those lights drawing nearer and nearer before Stacy clicked off the flashlight and ordered us into the forest. Silently, we slipped into the brush and fell flat to the ground. Two pickups and four cars rattled into the yard, their lights focused like spotlights on the Avery front porch. Noisy, angry men leaped from the cars and surrounded the house. Caleb Wallace and his brother Thurston, his left arm hanging akimbo at his side, pounded the front door with their rifle butts. "Y'all come on out of there," called Caleb. "We want that thievin' murder nigger, y'all's."
Stacy,
I stammered, feeling the same nauseous fear that I had felt when the night men had passed and when Papa had come home shot and broken.
What they gonna do?
I don't know, Stacy whispered, as two more men joined the Wallaces at the door.
Why ain't that R.W. and Melvin? I exclaimed. What the devil they doing?
Stacy quickly muffled me with the palm of his hand as Melvin thrust himself against the door in an attempt to break it open, and R.W. smashed a window with his gun. At the side of the house, several men were climbing through the same window T.J. had entered only a few minutes before. Soon, the front door was flung open from the inside, and Mr. and Mrs. Avery were dragged savagely by their feet from the house. The Avery girls were thrown through the open windows. The older girls, attempting to gather the younger children to them, were slapped back and spat upon. Then quiet, gentle Claude was hauled out, knocked to the ground and kicked.
Claude,
whimpered Christopher John, trying to rise. But Stacy hushed him and held him down.
We gotta get help, Stacy rasped,
but none of us could move. I watched the world from outside myself. Then TJ emerged, dragged from the house on his knees. His face was bloody, and when he tried to speak, he cried with pain, mumbling his words as if his jaw were broken. Mr. Avery tried to rise to get to him, but was knocked back.
Look what we got here, one of the men said, holding up a gun. That pearl-handled pistol from Jim Lee's store.
Oh, Lord, Stacy groaned. Why didn't he get rid of that thing? TJ mumbled something we couldn't hear, and Caleb Wallace thundered,
Stop lying, boy, 'cause you in a whole lot of trouble. You was in there. Ms. Barnett, when she come to and got help, said three black boys robbed their store and knocked out her and her husband. And R.W. and Melvin Sims seen you and them two other boys running from behind that store when they come in town to shoot some pool.
But it was R.W. and Melvin,
I started before Stacy clasped his hand over my mouth again.
Now, who was them other two, and where's that money y'all took?
Whatever T.J.'s reply, it obviously wasn't what Caleb Wallace wanted to hear, for he pulled his leg back and kicked TJ's swollen stomach with such force that TJ emitted a cry of awful pain and fell prone upon the ground.
Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus! Cried Mrs. Avery,
wrenching herself free from the men who held her and rushing toward her son.
Don't let him hurt my baby no more. Kill me, Lord, but not my child.
But before she could reach TJ, she was caught by the arm and flung so ferociously against the house that she fell, dazed, and Mr. Avery, struggling to reach her, was helpless to save either her or TJ. Christopher John was sobbing distinctly now.
Cassie, Stacy whispered, you take little man and Christopher John and y'all.
The headlights of two more cars appeared in the distance, and Stacy immediately hushed. One of the cars halted on the Granger Road, its lights beaming aimlessly into the blackness of the cotton fields. But the lead car came crazy and fast along the rutted trail toward the Avery house, and before it had rolled to a complete stop, Mr. Jameson leaped out. But once out of the car, he stood very still surveying the scene. Then he stared at each of the men as if preparing to charge them in the courtroom and said softly, Y'all decide to hold court out here tonight? There was an embarrassed silence. Then Caleb Wallace spoke up.
Now look here, Mr. Jameson. Don't you come messing in this thing. You do, warned Thurston hotly. We just likely to take care of ourselves a nigger lover too tonight.
An electric tenseness filled the air, but Mr. Jameson's placid face was unchanged by the threat. Jim Lee Barnett and his wife are still alive. Y'all let the sheriff and me take the boy. Let the law decide whether or not he's guilty.
Where's Hank? Someone said. I don't see no law.
That's him up at Harlan Granger's, Mr. Jameson said with a wave of his hand over his shoulder. He'll be down in a minute. Now leave the boy be.
For my money, I say let's do it now, a voice cried. Ain't no need to waste good time and money trying no thieving nigger.
A crescendo of ugly hate rose from the men as the second car approached. They grew momentarily quiet as the sheriff stepped out. The sheriff looked uneasily at the crowd as if he would rather not be here at all, then at Mr. Jameson.
Where's Harlan? Asked Mr. Jameson.
The sheriff turned from Mr. Jameson to the crowd without answering him. Then he spoke to the men.
Mr. Granger sent word by me that he ain't gonna stand for no hanging on his place. He say y'all touch one hair on that boy's head while he's on this land, he's gonna hold every man here responsible.
The men took the news in grim silence. Then Caleb Wallace cried,
Then why don't we go somewhere else? I say what we ought to do is take him on down the road and take care of that big black giant of a nigger at the same time.
And why not that boy he working for, too?
Yelled Thurston.
Stacy, I gasped.
Hush.
A welling affirmation rose from the men.
I got me 3 new ropes, exclaimed Caleb. New? How come you want to waste a new rope on a nigger? Asked Melvin Sims. Big as that one nigger is, an old one might break.
There was chilling laughter, and the men moved toward their cars, dragging TJ with them.
No,
cried Mr. Jameson, rushing to shield TJ with his own body.
Cassie, Stacy whispered hoarsely. Cassie, you gotta get Papa now. Tell him what happened. I don't think Mr. Jameson can hold them.
You come too.
No, I'll wait here.
I ain't going without you, I declared,
afraid that he would do something stupid like trying to rescue TJ alone.
Look, Cassie, go on, will you please? Papa'll know what to do. Somebody's gotta stay here case they take TJ off into the woods somewhere. I'll be all right.
Well, please, Cassie, trust me, will you?
I hesitated.
You promise you won't go down there by yourself?
Yeah, I promise. Just get Papa and Mr. Morrison before they hurt them some more.
He placed the unlit flashlight in my hand and pushed me up. Clutching little man's hand, I told him to grab Christopher Johns, and together the 3 of us picked our way along the black path, afraid to turn on the flashlight for fear of its light being seen. Thunder crashed against the corners of the world, and lightning split the sky as we reached the road, but we didn't stop. We dared not. We had to reach Papa.